Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings. I'm very happy to be here today on this gorgeous sunny day. And I'm very excited also, my buddy Tom Burgo is going to join me live in the studio in just a few moments. Tom is an ordained minister through Elam Fellowship, and recently he's been teaching classes at Shema Yisrael from the Freedom in Messiah, or you might know it as Freedom in Christ Ministries. Based on the teachings of Neil Anderson, who's a best-selling author, we're going to talk a lot about that in just a little while. But right now, let's listen a little bit to Jonathan Sattel. Yes, that's the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. You know, he really inspired me. He was at Shema Yisrael a couple of weeks ago, and he sang that song, Ani Ma'amin, all in Hebrew. And I did it this morning at Shema. It was a blast, and it means I believe. I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and that's why I'm on the air. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are located at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. We're a congregation of Jews and Gentiles that believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. So we'd love for you to come and fellowship with us on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. And while you're there, check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It is open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 12 to 5. And it's open after the services around noon every Saturday. When you're at the Fig Tree, oh my goodness, you can get all kinds of amazing books and CDs and prayer shawls, known as talit, shofars, books all about the Jewish holidays, about sharing Messiah, and of course they also have cards and jewelry. So that's the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, located right at Shema Yisrael, 1326 North Winton Road. And if you're listening to this program and you live in Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo, or around that area, consider visiting Congregation Brith HaDashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. And right now, Jonathan Sattel is reminding us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yes, Shabbat Shalom. Oh my goodness. Well, you know one of my favorite Shabbat songs is from Craig Taubman from the CD My Jewish Discovery. Let's all say it together. Shabbat ba 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 Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shabbat
Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Light the candle, say the Kiddush over the wine. Do the Motzi, the challah tastes so fine.
Like the candles say the Kiddush over the wine. That Shabbos feeling so fine. Every week I get that Shabbos feeling.
Shabbos feeling. Get the Shabbos feeling.
I feel it from my head down to my toes.
Head down to my toes.
6 long days I have to wait for Shabbos.
Wait for Shabbos. Just can't wait for Shabbos.
But then on Friday Eve I get that Shabbos glow.
Get that Shabbos glow. Oh,
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat,
Shalom. It's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom. It's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom. It's the day of rest.
Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. It's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom. It's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom. It's the day of rest.
Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I hope for you. Sabbath peace. Rest in Him today, my friends. Alrighty, well, I'm so thankful that there are sponsors who are helping to keep Bagels and Blessings on the air. Let's hear from one of them now.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Oh, yes. Now we got just a spirited jumping song. We got Becca Shea. She's going to tell us all about Yeshua. Mm-hmm.
Death, no life, no angels, no principality, or not any peace for
Moshiach. I'm convinced neither death nor life, nor angels or principality, or not any, not any peace for today, or worries about tomorrow, nor any power in the sky above or earth below. Oh, nothing in all creation could separate us from God's love. God's love through the sun, 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 Yeshua.
Oh, yes, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I'm telling you, folks, that's why I'm on the air. I'm just a nice Jewish girl, you know, who found her Messiah. Jesus made me kosher. Yeah, and Yeshua actually means salvation. I'm excited to be here. And remember, in just a few moments, I'll be doing my interview with Tom Burgo. You're really going to want to hear this. If you are struggling with depression, anxiety, fear, if you have things going on in your life, you need to know how to get rid of that with the Lord's help. And Tom has learned how to do that. He's teaching us how to do that, and he's going to tell you all about it very, very soon. Right now, though, I would like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for helping to keep me on the air. Their office is in Scottsville, but they go all over the place, all over the Rochester area. You can call them at 889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business, and, you know, pretty soon you're going to want to get your air conditioning going. But right now, maybe you want to have your furnace looked at. Give them a call today, 889-7840. They really, really are excellent. Okay, I have lots of songs that I can say are my favorites. But I'm telling you, if you just want a song to help you enter into the presence of the Lord, into the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, this is it. Paul Wilbur from Your Great Name CD. This is called Glory Come Down.
Secret place, O God, under the shadow of your wings. Here in your presence, there's no place I'd rather be. I need you more than anything. Glory, come down. Come down, glory, come down, glory, come down. The song of heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, rise up. Worship as we sing. All creation longs to hear the joyful sound of the returning of our. Come down,
come down.
May you feel the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, fall on you. Can't you just feel it? The glory was just coming down right here in the radio station. Powerful. That was Paul Wilbur from the CD, Your Great Name, Glory Come Down. Whew. Well, come on down to Europa Cafe if you're looking for a good place to go for lunch.
If you've been longing for some Eastern European delicacies, wonderful meals. Well, have I got a deal for you. Europa Cafe at 1694 Penfield Road in Penfield. It's open from Tuesday to Sunday from 8 to 3. You can have breakfast or lunch there. Delicious paninis, crepes, cabbage rolls, blintzes, all kinds of Eastern European desserts and pastries. Europa Cafe. And right next door is their Europa Deli, open 7 days a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 8, and Sundays from 10 to 4. At the Europa Deli, you can have all kinds of Eastern European specials, pierogies, herring, all kinds of fish, cold cuts, delicious food. So that's Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Come on in and you will be so glad you did.
Oh, yes. Okay, next up we got Joel Chernoff to remind us that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Just take a look at Isaiah 54, verse 17.
Though the nations rage against you, O Jerusalem, know this, that the Lord your God is with you. For does not the prophet Isaiah say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? So I say unto you, fear not, O Jerusalem. Fear not, Tel Aviv. Fear not, Haifa and Tiberias. Fear not, sons of David. For the Lord your God is with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Thus says the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon.
Always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jardé's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you and a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jardé's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jardé's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jardé's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out.
Well, absolutely. Go visit Jardé's Hair Salon. Right now, here's Joel Chernoff again telling you how you can be a blessing to Israel.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Did you know the Jewish Torah or law God imparted to the Israelites at Mount Sinai is actually the first five books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What is now known as Judeo-Christian values was based on the Torah. Torah means to teach. For thousands of years, these teachings of right and wrong have instructed countless leaders about freedom, justice, and morality. A priceless blessing shared with the whole world. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to ROIMinute.com. That's ROIMinute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, who wants to win a coupon for bagels? All you got to do is be the first caller at 222-2990. 222-2990. Answer this question. The English word Messiah comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach. What is the literal meaning of Mashiach? 222-2990. Call now.
4 or 8 days I've been bagel free. All that matzah is getting to me. No bread or leaven, they're sure in heaven. Oh, little bagel's what I'm waiting for. Give me lots of my garlic bagel. Spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight.
Work it out, baby, work it out. All that cream cheese and lots of fun. I got to have some now.
When Pesach comes again next year, wow, I'll go bagel free again, that's clear. Wow. The Torah tells me, and it compels me, wow, and I obey Hashem in Him I fear.
Bagel.
Give me lots of my garlic bagel. Spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight.
Okay, the number is 222-2990. What does the word Mashiach mean? In English, we have the word Messiah, and then the Hebrew word is Mashiach. But what is the literal meaning of the word Mashiach? 222-2990. You know, you won't even have to go on the air, because I want to give as much time as possible to my buddy over here. He's been patiently waiting. So I would like to welcome my dear friend Tom Burgo to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom!
Shalom. Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad that you were able to come on the show with me today. And there's so many questions and so little time. Let's talk a little bit about how you journeyed into Messianic Judaism. I know you weren't raised in a Jewish home, and it's always a surprise. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it's always a surprise when someone who's not born Jewish comes alongside of us.
Well, back in 2001, after my second minor heart attack, I decided maybe I better find out what God wants me to do with my life, because I had been pretty much ignoring Him up till that time. So I opened the Bible. That was the only way I could think of, and I began listening to Christian radio and listening to pastors, and one weekend I happened to hear this lovely woman, Ethel Chadwick, on Bagels and Blessings.
You don't say.
I do say. And she was talking about Congregation Shema Yisrael. And so shortly thereafter, it was around the Passover. I don't know why the Lord put that on my heart, but all of a sudden I needed to learn more about the Passover. And I remembered I heard somebody on the radio at a Messianic Jewish congregation. And so I wandered into Shema Yisrael and was coming once in a while ever since then.
So, you know, many of you have heard the expression wandering Jew, but you were a wandering Gentile. You came right in there, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, what about as a child? Were you raised in a home where you knew the Lord as your Savior or Messiah?
Not fully. I was baptized as a Catholic. I went to Sacred Heart Grammar School. I went to Aquinas High School. Through my high school and college years, I really didn't practice religion much, did whatever I wanted. As I got married and we had children, we started going back to church, and of course I did it because I thought, this will make me good, going to church.
Did it?
Not particularly. A lot of struggles. A lot of struggles.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you wandered into Congregation Shema Yisrael, and what was your impression?
My impression was, as I read through Acts and I see there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but all are one, I kind of saw that there. I see the people there, and most of them are very friendly. If I had to use one word, grace. There's a lot of grace in there, and there's a lot of good, clear, consistent biblical teaching. So if you want to know about the Bible, that's a place to go.
Aw, that's great, Tom, and we're really glad to have you. Now, you received a license through Elam. Now, how did that happen? How did you get to that point in your life?
Well, about 2005, I decided I wanted to learn more about the Bible. And so I found out about Elam Bible Institute, and I enrolled there. I was still working full-time at Kodak, and I was taking some directed study classes, which is you study by yourself, but you send tests in and meet with them once in a while. In order to get the diploma from Elam, you need to spend at least a semester on campus, which was going to be a problem for me. But the Lord mysteriously worked things out because I got on a peculiar work schedule where I was working 4 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And so I'd get up at 2:30 in the morning, go to work, get out at a little afternoon, and then I could drive down to Elam for afternoon classes. So I was able to take classes on campus.
And stay awake?
And stay awake, especially in Greek. It was tough some days.
God is a God of miracles.
Yeah, well, I took what I call the decelerated learning program. It took me 7 years, and I finally finished the 3-year diploma.
7 years.
Yeah.
And at the completion of that, were you then a licensed minister, or how did that work?
It was a couple of years after that I applied through Elam Fellowship to be a licensed minister. As I was being drawn more into ministering, what's interesting is I would tell people I started off at Elam just to learn about the Bible. And about 5 years into it, I thought, maybe I should try to finish the 3-year degree. And about 6 years into it, I thought, maybe the Lord is calling me to be a pastor. And I was relaying that to someone, and my wife looked at me and she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I knew the first time you went there that you were going there to be a pastor. So she saw it before me.
So, you know, Tom, the moral of the story is you should listen to your wife a lot more often.
Absolutely. I agree.
Wow. So the Lord uses you a lot to help people become free from spiritual bondage. And you're teaching classes at Shema right now.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get involved in, you know, we can call it freedom in Messiah or freedom in Christ. It's the same thing. And Mashiach is the word we're asking for. You can call, but you don't have to go on the air, 222-2990. But how did you get involved with Freedom in Messiah Ministries? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things I struggled with most of my life was anger. Very, very angry person.
No way.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I also had some episodes of minor depression. Never anything where I had to go see anybody, but at times I was very close. One of the first classes I took at Elam on campus was a senior elective class. So I'm still kind of a new believer, but I took this class called Spiritual Warfare because I thought that sounds cool.
Wasn't just for seniors,
although I was a senior.
I had to say it.
So in Spiritual Warfare, I got introduced to a book called The Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. And although I didn't fully understand all of the implications of spiritual warfare, everything made sense to me, and it lined up with what I was reading in the Bible. What I found is my early walk, I felt like sometimes I had lead in my boots and I was dragging a big boulder. Things just seemed hard. I struggled with thoughts. I struggled with depression. I struggled with the same anger. But when I went through a process called the Steps to Freedom that's outlined in the Bondage Breaker, a whole lot of lead suddenly came out of my boots and the boulder I was pulling got a lot smaller. Over the years, I referred people to it, and later on, I read another book by Neil called Victory Over the Darkness. We actually recommend that you read that first, but it's all about resolving these personal and spiritual conflicts that we have that are the roots to various issues in our life, like depression, anxiety, fear, addiction, anger, all sorts of things that we struggle with. And as we struggle with them, the struggle doesn't seem to get better because there's still a root that's rooted in a conflict that we have to resolve. And once we resolve that conflict, that's when the change takes place.
Well, a person who's struggling with something and they're really, really depressed might say, well, what do you mean? These are my feelings. I just can't turn it off and on like a light switch. So what do you say to them?
What I say is that we have things deep down inside that are issues between ourselves and God. And sometimes we don't even know that we have that issue. Very much like if you walk into a room and you see an electrical outlet there and you don't know what that outlet is, you go stick a butter knife in there, you're going to find out. It doesn't matter whether you know or not.
Yikes.
Once we get these resolved in a biblical manner, it brings us closer to God so that the Holy Spirit can begin working in us. And, of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. When we remove these barriers between ourselves and God and reestablish that intimacy, He takes care of it and He brings the healing.
Sounds good to me. I know with a lot of people that are depressed, it seems like I've run into a lot of people that just don't love themselves. And I Amen. Seem to think that that seems to be like one of the big problems. And they can't seem to see themselves as God sees them. And they think that they're stupid and dumb and unworthy. And so what do you do for someone like that?
One of the first things I do as I try to teach people is I just explain that what Yeshua said is, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The idea of abiding is, if I'm going to abide by a rule, that means I'm going to submit myself and comply with that ruling. When he says word, the Greek word is logos. That's where we get our word logic and the logi and biology, theology, and so on. So it's really his doctrine and understanding of things. So what he's saying is, if we comply with and submit to Yeshua's understanding and doctrine, that we'll be his disciples, we'll be like him, and we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So that freedom is freedom from this spiritual bondage. If the truth makes me free, a lie puts me in bondage. Just as simple as that. And so what I do is I encourage people, first of all, to take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. And on the left side, write lie, and on the right side, write truth. And begin finding the lies. And so one of the first lies that I ask people, do you ever feel like you're not worth very much or you're worthless? And it's almost unanimous. People agree with that. And I ask, how much are you worth? And people have various answers. Well, I'm worth a lot. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, what does the Bible say? Because that's where the truth comes in. The Bible says, I was bought with a price. The Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yeshua laid down his life for every person on the world. Now, not everybody will receive his gift, but nobody has the right to think they're worthless. You are worth whatever someone will pay. And so I then tell people, now what you need to do is to renounce the lie. We need to rebuild the path in your brain that's telling you you're worthless. I renounce the lie that I'm worthless. I choose to believe the truth that I am precious to God and worth the life of his Son to him.
So, Tom, if I understand you correctly, if people change their thoughts, if they stop dwelling on the lies, and if they choose to dwell on the truth and believe it, then they're on their way to freedom?
That's a first step. It is a huge first step. The scripture clearly tells us, take every thought captive. We need to not be passive in our thinking. We need to make sure that in order for a thought to dwell in our mind, it's an appropriate thought and that it's the truth. And if it's not, we renounce that thought and get it out and then choose to believe the truth. So that's a great first step. The subsequent steps are resolving some of these conflicts. So, for instance, anger. Anger can be a fruit of the conflicts, but it can also be one of the roots. Paul tells us, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, or you'll give place to the devil. He's not talking necessarily literally about when it gets dark, you stop being angry, but he's referring to prolonged anger. And what he's saying is that when I choose to prolong anger, I give place to the devil. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm not saying it's demonic possession or anything, but I know it's not a good thing to give the devil a foothold in my life. Another one, the biggest one, is unforgiveness. And Neil Anderson says that if he has to go someplace and he only has time to talk about one of the steps to freedom, he talks about unforgiveness. In the parable in Matthew 18, the result was for the servant who chose not to forgive after he had been forgiven a huge debt, he was turned over to the tormentors. Now, I know some versions say he was put in jail or turned over to the jailers, but the actual Greek word is a torturer or a tormentor. This unforgiveness causes a torment in our own mind. And what we have to do is we have to forgive the way that we were forgiven. Yeshua says that 5 or 6 times. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you.
Well, what do you say to the person that says, well, I can't help my thoughts, are just there? In other words, I think there are some people that don't take responsibility for what thoughts they have. They just think that the thoughts are just there and they can't control it. And what do you say to that person?
Yeah, the thoughts we can control and we must control them. And as a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that we have some spiritual enemies. There are beings called, referred to as demons. There is a devil who's the enemy of our soul. And these beings can actually plant a thought in our mind, making it first person singular, making me think that I thought it. I think most people that I talk to, I ask them, have you ever had this odd thought come into your mind, like I want to shoot that person or, you know. In one of his books, Neil Anderson refers to a psychologist who studied for years and years and still wasn't able to figure out why every time he had a hot cup of coffee in his hands, he wanted to throw it in the face of the first person that walked by.
Oh, dear.
Might not have even been his thought. And so if a thought can be planted in my mind, and I know often they say, well, it's a chemical imbalance, but I'd like to know how a chemical imbalance can cause me to think a thought that I'm opposed to thinking.
Whoa, explain.
Yeah, we get thoughts that we don't want to think. The conventional medical wisdom is that, well, it's a chemical imbalance that we have to solve. But biblically, it could very well be a demonic presence that's causing me to think a thought that I don't want to think and is causing me to try to act in a way that I shouldn't, to not believe things. You see, the amazing thing is, I'm going to go to heaven, not by my own works, not by anything that I have done, but by the sacrifice that Yeshua made and by the grace of God and my faith in him. I have become a child of God. I'm not the same old sin-loving sinner I used to be. I am now adopted into the family of God, and the devil cannot do a thing about that. But he tries to do the next thing that he can, and that's to mess up my relationship with my Heavenly Father and to stumble me in my walk. And so many people get into that pattern where they're now stumbled in their walk, their relationship isn't good with God, and they think of themselves as being a big failure, when actually they're in spiritual bondage. Yeshua says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And the way that I illustrate that when I teach in jail that's pretty effective is I say, imagine that you have a pair of handcuffs on. There's a long chain on those handcuffs, and the other end of that chain, 6 big guys are holding it. You want to go to the left, and they want to go to the right. Which way are you going? See, you may fight for a while, you may hold your own, you may prevail, but in the end, you're going to go the direction that they want to. And in spiritual bondage, it's almost like having handcuffs on your mind and somebody's got the other end of the chain. When you're in that situation and you say, I know I should be doing this, I want to do this, this is the best thing to do, but you find yourself doing the wrong thing, it's not necessarily that you're a moral failure or that something's wrong with you. You're in spiritual bondage, and we can break those chains, give them to Yeshua, and end that battle.
That's powerful stuff. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I'm talking with Tom Burgo and enjoying every moment of it, of course, and I'm sure that you are enjoying hearing this. I know one of the questions you ask at the beginning of your class And so since I'd like the listeners to hear the right answer, I'll ask you, and then you can give the right answer. Are you a saint or are you a sinner?
I am a saint. I'm a holy one. That's what the scripture tells me. Over 300 times, the Bible refers to unbelievers as sinners. The reason it does that is because we are born spiritually dead. Ever since Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they died spiritually. All descendants are born spiritually dead. What that means is that my soul is not in union with God anymore. It's in union with my body. That's what keeps my body alive. Being spiritually dead, I don't do anything out of faith in God. And Paul says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so by nature, whatever I do is not in faith with God. It's sin. But something happens when I receive Yeshua as my Lord and Savior. I become born again or born from above. And that new birth means that I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I am not the same sin-loving sinner I was. As a matter of fact, Paul refers to it this way. He says, while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. I've transformed. I've become something new. Being a saint or a holy one doesn't mean I can't sin anymore. And if you ask my wife or kids, they'll certainly tell you that I can.
No.
What it means is that I now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. I can say no to sin. I can understand what sin is, and I can choose not to sin, and I have that power to help me. And as I talk to people, many of them are reluctant, but the classic one that we use with Freedom in Christ Ministries is we ask, do you ever sneeze? And would you describe yourself as a sneezer if anybody asked you to tell about yourself?
Don't ask me that.
Yeah, nobody would. You're a human being, and sometimes you sneeze, but that's not your nature anymore.
Often. No.
Yeah, so we've had a change in nature, and to illustrate that, after people come to the Lord, they have things in their life that they used to think were okay, and they don't like them anymore. Some people abhor different behaviors that they had. They just hate those. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's the evidence that you're a new creation. And all we have to do is begin believing it. But if I believe that I'm a worthless sinner, I'm going to live like I'm a worthless sinner. Instead, if I believe that I am a person who is a child of God, precious to God in every way, purchased by the blood of his Son, and that I can do all things through the Lord who strengthens me, that makes me start walking in a different path.
Amen. So you used to have anger issues and depression a little bit, and you went through these steps. How long would you say that it took you to get it in your head to believe the truth, and just actually, like, when did you start really seeing a change in your life?
Yeah. Very, very early on, I did. Even just reading the scripture was making a change. The interesting thing with spiritual bondage and our spiritual issues is that when we address those, they clear up very quickly. Now, that doesn't mean everything changes, because the Bible refers to something called a stronghold. A stronghold can be a pattern of thinking that I have, or a flesh pattern, or just beliefs that I have maintained over a long period of time, and they take time to break down. But the way that I do it again is by controlling my thinking, choosing to believe the truth, choosing to renounce lies, and continually working on that. And eventually, when you think about yourself, instead of thinking, worthless, you begin thinking, oh, precious.
Yes. Tom, what happens when people just won't stop believing the lies? It's very sad, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very, very sad.
You can't make them believe the truth, can
you? No. And one of the things that I'm very careful about is to make sure that my goal is to help people along in the process. But we all have a responsibility. As we work with Freedom in Messiah, the people who are helping are called encouragers. The people who want the help we refer to as inquirers, but there's a third member of the triangle, and that's God himself. And we each have our responsibilities. God has his responsibility to us. The encourager, our responsibility is to lead people to God to show them how to take away the barriers that they have between themselves and God so that he can help them with their problems. But in the end, I can't choose to do praying for someone. I can't choose to do someone's believing of the truth. I can't renounce lies for anyone. I can't resist the devil. The scripture clearly tells me if I submit myself to God, resist the devil, he will flee.
You mean you can't resist the devil for someone else?
For someone else,
yeah.
Yes. I can only do it for myself.
For yourself, yeah. Wow. So in addition to teaching these wonderful classes at Shema Yisrael, you're teaching these at the prisons too, right?
Yeah. I had an opportunity to go into Monroe Correctional Facility, and I'm able to teach there on Monday mornings and on Friday mornings. And I'm also now going in as a Good News volunteer. And so outside of teaching classes, I just get to talk to people one-on-one as I give them the Good News materials and Bibles and chat with that. But I can also share with them the same fundamentals of being free from this spiritual bondage.
I would imagine, well, I see it for one thing, because you believe the truth and you daily renounce the lies,
yeah,
you have more joy and you have more peace, and it shows on your face.
Well, thank you.
So I would imagine that people in your life, friends, family, they must see the Lord in you because you have the peace, you have the knowledge of who you are in Messiah, and as long as you're dwelling on that, God is just flowing through you, and it just must be spilling out everywhere, out right here in the studio. It's just amazing.
Good. Yeah, I believe that. Again, the idea of freedom, you know, I tend to forget some things. I'll get ready to leave and be halfway there, and I forgot something important. And my first impulse is, why, you dummy, there you go, you did it again. And then the next thing that comes back is, no, you're precious to God. God loves you anyway. That doesn't matter. I'm his child.
Amen.
And so it's a continual reminding of that, and not even letting one of those thoughts get a toehold in your mind. As soon as it comes in, you've got to shut it off, because if you don't, it grows. It's almost like planting a dandelion in your garden. It's not too long before your beautiful flower garden is taken over.
Yeah. Funny that you said that, because I know people that do it lots. They'll be like, oh, you stupid idiot, every time they make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've done it myself too. And it's like, I guess we really do have to shut that down immediately when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I try to do is I just try to look up and say, but God loves that anyway. I don't have to be perfect. Isn't that amazing? God has accepted me knowing that I'm going to make these mistakes. How about that? He could have chosen somebody who doesn't make, he chose me.
Amen. Well, you know, when you talked before about unforgiveness, I think a lot of that also applies to forgiving ourselves. Like some people have trouble, you know, not forgiving another person, but then aren't there so many people running around that just because their self-image is so poor and they hate themselves, they have such bitterness against themselves, and they have an unforgiving spirit towards themselves.
That's as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than unforgiveness towards others. And what I do, again, is I challenge people's belief of the truth. Do you believe when the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Because if you believe that, when you make a proper confession to God, he has forgiven you. And if you choose not to forgive yourself, you've just put yourself above God. You have made yourself God in your life. And I just like to ask, how's that working out for you?
Dr. Phil, how's that working for you?
Yeah, so it's not a question of whether I want to forgive myself or whether I think I ought to forgive myself or what I want to think about myself. It's a question of, what does God say about me? That's the real me. I'm a human being. I have a physical part, but that physical part's going to die someday. There are going to be people I'm going to encounter that love me and hate me, people that respect me and people that diss me, people that are hard on me and people that are easy on me. And at the end of the day, I want to look up and say, what does God say about me? And he says, I'm a child of God. I am justified. I am redeemed. I'm a friend of Messiah. I have all of these things. I am born of God and the evil one can't touch me. And so when I go through, it's a choice as to, am I going to believe it or not? But if I play God in my life and decide not to forgive and not to have the forgiving spirit that I should, it's a problem. Now, most people, when they get trapped in this unforgiveness, it's kind of understandable because being made in the image of God, we have a sense of justice. Everybody does. Their idea may vary a little from one person to the other, but in the end, we have a sense of justice. Now, you don't see that in the animal kingdom. In other words, the mice don't get together and build a jail and say, we've got to trap the cat and put him in it. So we have this sense of justice, and we believe something should be done. We've been offended. Someone hurt us. And you're absolutely right. But the greatest act of faith that we can do, or one of the greatest acts, is to trust that to God and say, I believe, God, that you are the perfect judge, and that when I give this to you, you're going to judge it correctly. And so, therefore, I am going to not hold that against that person. I'm going to live with the consequences of their sin. We have to anyhow. Our choice is to live in the bitterness of bondage or the freedom of forgiveness. And that's the only choice that we have.
Amen. I definitely want to have you on the show again sometime. Are you open to that?
Yep.
Good, because we've run out of time for today, but this has just been fascinating. And my prayer for all of you listening is that you believe the truth. Know who you are in Messiah. Know that you are loved, approved, accepted. You are a child of the King. Know that you are loved. Walk in that. Amen. And right now, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panavalecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Panamalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you, Tom. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. So I hope that you're going to walk in knowing that God loves you, walk in his peace and in his rest. Next week's program and the week after will be pre-recorded. Next week, you'll be able to listen to an interview with David Brickner, the director of Jews for Jesus. Have a blessed week. Shabbat Shalom.